This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Choose your weapon.
Oh, okay.
You're in a fight, Jim.
Yep.
Which would you rather have as a weapon? A cat?
Yeah.
Or a toilet? Choose your weapon.
Now, are we talking toilet seat or the whole porcelain throne here?
You've got the whole toilet.
Okay, I'm going to go toilet because of that scene from Boondock Saints where he drops the toilet on the bad guy's head from the top of the apartment.
Yeah.
So, and cats, you know, I'm an animal lover. I don't want to get them involved. I'm going toilet.
Cats can get pretty fierce, though.
Oh, if you get them riled up first, yeah.
I don't know. Let's look at these two stories here and then
okay. See
if it changes your mind. A woman in Florida, 53-year-old, last week got arrested for using her cat as a weapon. She and her girlfriend had an argument. It sounds like the girlfriend had accused this woman of cheating on her. She held up the cat and said, "I haven't cheated." And then she shoved the cat in the girlfriend's face. It freaked out, went into attack mode.
Wow.
Multiple lacerations on the face when the first responders showed up. And they arrested the assailant.
And
the cat for domestic battery. Little cat handcuffs on there.
Goodness gracious. I wonder if, like, the cat already didn't like that. Because would you just... I don't know. Cats are unpredictable. Sometimes they're in good moods. Sometimes they're in bad moods. I don't know.
In the police report, the type of weapon used in the attack was described as feline. And then you go over to Pennsylvania, and a 47-year-old man in Pennsylvania went crazy in a convenience store a couple weeks ago. He assaulted several customers, then struck multiple vehicles with plastic signs, claimed he had a gun, threatened to shoot people. Police were called. The guy climbed the fire escape of a nearby apartment building, threw rocks at the police officers. Then he got onto the roof of the building and threw a toilet.
Oh, another apartment toilet!
Off of the roof, along with a paint can. Nobody was hurt, but he is facing charges of aggravated assault, criminal trespass, terroristic threats, and simple assault.
And can somebody, can the superintendent perhaps explain why there's a toilet on the roof that's not bolted to anything?
Whoever lives in that building obviously has kids, and they're trying to hide from their family.
It's the only, is that what it is?
It's the only place they can get 2 minutes of peace and quiet. The roof toilet. You're sticking with toilet? That is pretty heavy.
He missed everybody with the toilet.
Yeah, it sounds like the cat did more damage.
The cat did, yeah.
Choose your weapon, and choose wisely. Little whoopsie daisies. In Quebec, the Ministry of Health and Social Services in Quebec accidentally tweeted out the wrong link. They were attempting to tweet out the latest COVID data to keep the citizens up to date.
Mm-hmm.
They tweeted a foot fetish Pornhub link instead.
Oh, boy. At least it was a foot fetish. Because, you know, it could be a lot grosser, you know, if you accidentally clicked on a link and it was some other fetish. Foot is like the bottom end.
It truly is the bottom end. It's the lowest you can go in terms of fetishes.
Yeah.
Toe fetishes, maybe, you want to get a little bit lower. could have been an anana fetish.
Those Quebecers.
Imagine that was your thing. You got turned on by the ananas from Télé Français.
Oh, not a pineapple. Literally the puppet.
The pineapple puppet, yeah. He just found that thing sexy for some reason.
Thank God.
Ananas.
I love those eyes.
The Health and Social Services Department in Quebec It realized its error and deleted the tweet after it had been up for 30 minutes online.
Wow. You know, the problem is a lot of these things are automated, so they schedule them the day before, especially over a long weekend, and then it goes up automatically. Nobody's watching the Twitter feed, and that's why it stays up so long.
They did put out an apology to its 103,000 followers. Make it 103,001 now. I'm just waiting for the next gaffe. Due to a situation beyond our control, a link with inappropriate content was posted on our Twitter account. They say, we're looking for the causes. We are sorry for the inconvenience.
Or you're welcome for the fun image and your new fetish.
What happened? What were you copying and pasting? Why were you, how did that link? Because human error, you'd think, would be the only way that could happen. So unless someone was sending a fetish video to a friend and then forgot what was on their clipboard.
Exactly.
That's the only explanation I can kind of come up with. I'm not the most technological guy here.
Yeah. But when was the last time you saved an adult video link? If you copied it, do you keep a bunch of notes and, you know, in your phone to go back to? Is it to send to a friend, like you said?
A friend or a lover? What? You know, the French have many lovers.
It's a different culture over there, you know?
Right. They wanted to send the foot fetish video to their sexy footed lover.
I don't know. But, you know, you'd think you'd be able to track down who posted it. And hopefully get them in trouble. It could have been worse, but it's quite embarrassing for a government body, pun not intended, to be posting this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and they'll figure out who it was, and I'm sure everyone who works in the office with that person is going to be wearing closed-toed shoes moving forward. Time for a segment we call... The Easter Bunny accidentally handed out condoms at an elementary school last week.
Accidentally?
Accidentally. This is in Austin, Texas. So the Easter Bunny's in high demand this time of year. Earlier in the day, the person in the Easter Bunny costume, who also works as a pharmacist, had done an Easter-themed safe sex clinic. Was still in costume when they went to pick up their second grader at elementary school, got mobbed by the kids, called her husband, said, can you bring me the basket of Easter eggs so I can hand some of them out to the kids at the school? Husband grabbed the wrong basket, Easter eggs with condoms inside instead of Easter eggs with chocolates inside.
Okay. Okay, so they had the plastic egg you split open.
Yeah.
And there's the goodies inside. Okay.
Yeah, so they handed out a number of the condom eggs before they realized that they had the wrong basket.
Yikes. The kids must have been soaked. Where's the stick on this sucker? Is this a balloon? What is this?
This is the worst bubble gum I've ever tasted.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was a misunderstanding, but the school did send a letter home to parents to let them know that it was all an accident.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
And here's another elementary school whoopsie daisies. Parents at a Michigan elementary school are upset after one of the kids in kindergarten brought a bottle of ready-to-drink Jose Cuervo margaritas to school and decided to share them with their classmates. Here's audio of a couple parents talking about the incident.
He claims she drank 4 to 5 sips.
She feel like a little woozy. She's a little dizzy when we went in there with the principal. We asked her, was she okay? How did she feel? She said a little dizzy. She said the girl poured it in her cup and she drank it, and then the girl ended up telling her what it was. So she went to the teacher and told the teacher that it's liquor in this cup, and the teacher gave her a funny face.
I'm not sure if they short-staffed or whatever, but, It shouldn't have happened.
Short-staffed? Hold on a second. Are we to blame the teachers for the child bringing the margarita mix to school? Give me a break.
I thought that it was, I thought the kid didn't realize what it was, but it sounds like that kindergartner knew exactly what she was sharing around the classroom.
It's mom's funny juice. Yeah, like, because I could see it kind of looks like juice if it's that green margarita
mix. Slushy.
Yeah, it looks like a frost or whatever.
A little slushy?
Yeah.
But no, the kid knew there was liquor in it.
Jeez.
Well, good luck to those kids as they continue their education.
Yeah, not looking good so far.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
Talking about fallout here from the slap at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Unexpected fallout. Tearing apart families, tearing apart movie sets.
Hmm?
Channing Tatum stormed off the set of the Magic Mike sequel after having a major fight with co-star Tandy Newton over the Will Smith, Chris Rock incident at the Oscars.
Really?
Yeah, we had heard that Tandy Newton was being replaced with Selma Hayek. She had been reported that she had some sort of family issue and she was leaving the movie, but
she
now
got divorced recently. It was all that stuff was involved.
Insiders are saying that's not the case. The two of them had a huge fight on set about the Will Smith, Chris Rock slap.
And it got to that point?
Yeah.
Holy.
They'd been filming for 11 days, and they were shooting. They were in between shooting, and things started escalating. It's described as unimaginably vicious, the argument that occurred. Ended up with Channing Tatum getting in his car and driving away.
Not good.
He's a producer. And Magic Mike, obviously, is his thing. He is Magic Mike.
He's the man.
So he said, "I'm no longer working with her," and that was the end of Tandy Newton on set.
Really? And I got a feeling that Channing Tatum would have been on Chris Rock's side. I'm purely speculating.
This article doesn't specify. I was scrolling. I wanted to know who's on whose side.
To get so passionate.
Yesterday at the Easter dinner table with the Taz family, I had my brother-in-law and my mom were both on Will Smith's side. I was surprised
that's ridiculous.
Mama Taz was on Will Smith's side saying, Chris Rock needs to respect people's boundaries.
That's fine. And so slapping is also not respecting somebody's boundaries, people. Do we have to go over this again?
Jim, I don't want to talk about it because the last thing I need is you getting in your car and storming off.
That's it. I need Selma Hayek in here.
Yeah, I'm replacing Jim with Selma Hayek.
Goodness gracious, people.
That's actually best case scenario. I wouldn't mind that at all.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Is there an Easter Bunny costume that doesn't look creepy AF?
True.
I've been scrolling through social media this morning, looking at friends' posts, and a bunch of them went to Easter parties where there was a person wearing an Easter Bunny costume. Mm-hmm. And there is not one Easter Bunny costume that doesn't look at least mildly alarming.
I think it has something to do with the eyes. I think it's the dead eyes that always get me. You mentioned like a couple weeks ago the Donnie Darko, you know, suit still creeps you out. But
yeah.
They all have similar, those fake eyes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the face, it doesn't
creepily
change.
Happy?
Yeah. It's
no matter what?
Always smiling at you?
Yeah. I'll say this whole furry trend isn't helping anything out either.
Yeah, I didn't say the Easter Bunny wasn't sexy.
I got mixed feelings over here.
Said a little bit creepy. You know, you could be creepy and sexy. Oh, there's some
just
terrible.
Ask John Waters. Hello.
There's some terrible Easter Bunny costumes out there. Maybe it's time to get a new one. I saw one. I'm not going to say where the party was, but it was a private club that some of my friends are members at.
Okay.
A golf club.
Okay.
They're at a golf club. And they did this Easter thing. And the Easter Bunny costume looks like it's from 1962.
What
like,
color?
Terrifying.
What color is it?
Well, it's supposed to be white, but it's kind of like an off yellow now.
Cigarette stained over the years.
It's like, come on, guys, your members are all rich. Get yourself a new Easter Bunny costume. That thing looks like it's going to murder the children.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. It is funny, though. But then on the other hand, the bunny ears is like a sexy thing that people put on all the time. But it's the full costume that gets people going.
Like the Playboy
bunny. The Playboy tattoo. Like the bunny idea can look good. Like you put a little bunny tail, just the tail on you. You know what I mean? Then it can look all right. Fun.
I know what I'm getting you for a wedding present. Jim's going to be hopping around that honeymoon suite, Sarah. Are you ready for it? Here comes the Easter Bunny. Yeah. Want to go on an egg hunt?
What?
I don't know.
You know, but I take it back. Bunny's creepy all around. Yeah. I don't want to be involved.
That visual was even more disturbing than that outdated Easter Bunny costume I saw. Sad news in the world of hockey on the weekend. You may have noticed our sports guy, Devin Peacock's off today. He'll be back tomorrow, but we had to acknowledge the passing of Mike Bossy, four-time Stanley Cup champion with the New York Islanders. This guy, I'm not going to say he's underrated, but I think he definitely gets lost at times in the conversation about the all-time great hockey players.
And then you'll see like a list or something like that, like most consistent goal scorer of all time or something like that, and then Bossy will end up on the list. And you'll be like, oh yeah, because I think he was only in the league for a decade.
He was the fastest player to reach the 100-goal mark in the NHL. Hall of Fame inductee in 1991. He bet on himself. I watched a vignette on the weekend about Bossy, and when he was in contract negotiations with the Islanders, he said, well, I don't think that's quite enough money for you guys to pay me. And he said, well, what would a 50-50 goal scorer be worth for you in a season? Mm-hmm. And they said, this much. He said, okay, well, I'll score 50 goals. And gosh darn it, he went out and he scored himself 50 goals in the season.
That's wicked.
Pretty incredible. He was a native Montrealer. He was at home in Montreal when he passed, surrounded by family, according to sources. And a very emotional night at the Bell Center in Montreal on the weekend with their hometown hero, Mike Bossy, passing away at age 65. We also should take a moment to wish the best and let Buck Martinez know that we're behind him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be stepping back from doing the Jays games to battle cancer. He's been diagnosed with cancer, Jim.
Yeah. He's 73 years old. He was hoping to be part of the run this year because the Jays have a great chance. So he really wanted to be broadcasting this year, but he's taking some time off. His family says he's doing good, but he's been diagnosed with cancer. He said he'll be gone for a little while, whatever that means.
Well, we can't wait to hear you back on the broadcast. Buck Martinez, wishing you all the best.
This is the Taz and Jim Podcast.